I need to see actually working with the talking part.
This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to Road School Moms Radio, where education meets adventure. Your hosts, Kimberly Travaglino of Full Time Families and Mary Beth Goff, the road trip teacher, will share advice, information, and encouragement to bring your road schooling efforts to new levels.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of Road School Mom Live. We hear some quick, so it'd be quick to check out your inbox.
Do
I
have anybody yet?
Well, I'm going to go for it. Okay,
it's Mary Beth Scott, the road trip teacher, and I am traveling here in Tucson with my family of six. Our family of six and my kiddos of four, and we're just excited to be here for one more Sunday in Tucson, and loved spending the Easter holiday with our full-time family friends.
Well, I see that one of our devout listeners, the Jenkins family, is tuned in, so Jill, if you can, give us a start two on your phone. Let us know if you can actually hear us because we're testing out this new equipment and we're hoping that it's working. Oh my gosh, there's an audience.
We're excited to have our live audience tonight. We still have several.
Oh, Jill says she can hear us, so that's wonderful. Awesome. Thanks, Jill.
Shout out to the Simpsonigs and Arnold and Seeley's. They're all still with us tonight here.
And beautiful Barry is
okay.
Here.
Part of my family, the Goffs are here.
Yay.
Say hi to them.
So I see on the line we have the Jenkins family and my family, Jennifer Miles, who just came from to the convention, and the Colzer family from Grand Prairie, Texas. Welcome to Road School Moms Live. So as we mentioned, it's Easter Sunday. Yep. It's a glorious day here in Tucson. And how did you celebrate, Mary Beth?
We were very excited to go and do a little tour of the San Javier Mission today. We actually went to Easter services there. Our family did. We went to the 12:30 Mass. We are actually not Catholic, but it was just kind of a historical, monumental experience for us. I mean, I still felt the presence and all of that. It was a great experience. That mission, I don't know if you got a chance to go there.
I did not.
But I think it was founded in 1692. Very historical place. It actually still, I think there were years where it wasn't operational because of the floods or the damage, but they still have services there every Sunday, and I believe that's where the nuns live. How'd you spend your day?
I actually spent it preparing for a potluck with the FTFs that are still in Tucson. There's a few of us holdouts from the World's Best Road School Convention, like you mentioned, the Seeleys, the Arnold, obviously the Goffs, the Sensenigs, the Smiths just left, the Backstein Hartogs, trying to think who else, the Williams family here, and Connie here. So, yeah, there's still a few of us, and we'll be trickling out of Tucson. It's starting to get very hot. Very. No, not griping. It's really hot, though.
A little toasty. Although, we went to Mount Lemmon this week, and it was not toasty there when we got to the top.
Oh.
It was kind of another fun place we traveled when we left the bottom. I think it's at elevation 9,000 feet or something like that. And so when we left the bottom, it was 90, and when we got to the top, it was 60. My kids got to take pictures of snow.
Ooh,
fun.
That is fun.
There's a lot of things to do.
Oh, Janice Ryan with us. Hey, Janice. I think she's still in Florida. I think she was hanging with mermaids last week. Yeah.
She met up with some other FTS.
She did.
Family.
That's so super cool. I've always wanted to see those mermaids. It's totally on my list.
I took a lot of pictures.
I haven't been there yet.
Let's see. We know where in the world we are tonight in Tucson.
We are in Tucson.
So if you're chatting with us, let us know where in the world you are.
That's right. And we will be joined very shortly by Nancy Catherine Vogel, who is from about their dad.
You know, well, Nancy, of course, was one of our co-authors with our Chicks Without Bricks book. So I was very interested to read about her story and her adventures and how they got out on the road on their biking adventure and got, like, we can talk with her about it, you know, what they've done in their life recently. So, yeah, I'm excited to hear her story.
Yeah. So she's going to be joining us, and then we'll be talking about what's going on at Road Trip Teacher and what's going on at Full-Time Families, and it's going to be a great show. Oh, and there's also going to be some prizes. Yay, my favorite prizes. We do.
Oh, Janice says that's their last day in Florida, and they're headed to Savannah. So.
Okay. That sounds awesome. Have you been to Savannah? Nancy is so your radio. Can you hear us?
Yes, I'm hearing you now. Yes.
See, you're on the air.
I can barely.
Oh.
You're breaking up, though.
How about now?
That one just came through good.
Okay. Well, we are actually doing the show live on Skype tonight, so it's a little different. So that's how we're doing it. So we're going to make this work. Is this it's better? So Nancy World Night. Hello, Nancy.
While we're waiting on Nancy, we can say hello to Dallas. Someone is on our chat. I apologize. I can't always see names on this chat if you're not signed in under something that I recognize. But we've got a listener that's chatting with us from Dallas. The text our camera. Donna.
Oh,
from New York.
Donna from New York. Did you bring a
bag? I had potluck going on. I had a beverage. I can bring a snack. I'm just happy to be here.
So, I think what I'm going to need to do is call in on this line here. I think that's what I'm going to need to do. So give us two. Okay, Nancy, can you hear us now?
That is much, much better.
I'm sorry, did you say yes?
Yes.
Oh, okay, good. Much better. So, Nancy Catherine Vogel, welcome to Road School Moms. Where in the world are you tonight?
Oh, I'm here in Boise, Idaho tonight.
And what's the weather like in Boise, Idaho?
Absolutely incredible. Spring is definitely here.
Well, that sounds wonderful. Now, are you living full-time in Boise?
We are. We've been here for about 3 years now, and I love it. Absolutely are loving being in one place for a while after traveling for so long.
And let's talk about that traveling. We alluded to our listeners that you did something really epic on bicycles. Do you want to tell us what it is you did?
We, as a family, we spent a total of 4 years traveling around on our bicycles. When our twin sons were in third grade, we spent that year cycling around the U.S. and Mexico, came back to Boise for grade four, and then when they were in grades 5, 6, and 7, we rode our bikes from Alaska to Argentina.
That's just amazing to me, because I'll just tell you, I don't know if I could ride my bike from the other here to the other side of Tucson, Nancy. That's incredible. I know I read your story. I was, I was one of the co-authors of the Chicks Without Bricks book. So, of course, we all wanted to learn about each other. So I was so intrigued with your story. How did you decide that you wanted to do this? Where did you get this idea from?
My husband and I had done some touring prior to the kids being born, and we kind of always had this idea that at some point we would like to take off. Never really thought it would happen. It was probably one of those dreams that would remain a dream, and then at some point decided to go ahead and do it, and we did it. So.
Well, that's incredible. We were talking about you. Your ears were probably ringing while we were having our Easter dinner at our potluck, and some specific questions came up. For example, Bunny wanted to know, how did you pack enough clothing for the trip?
Clothing is, well, that was a big issue. Because we went through all four seasons, we had to be prepared for all four of them. And we thought about perhaps sending winter clothes somewhere and then getting them, but having them shipped to us was such a nightmare. And of course, having to have proper clothing because of what we were doing. So we actually carried everything with us. We had very minimal clothing. We had two outfits each in general, like for day-to-day stuff, and then we had layers so that we could layer on depending on temperature if it started getting cold.
So thinking about that, for those that are here that maybe don't have the background to your story, Nancy, explain to us, when you actually traveled physically, who rode the bike, who rode with who, did you carry a trailer on the back, what was your exact setup like when you were on the road?
Yeah, well, it did vary between the first year trip around the U.S. and Mexico and then going Alaska to Argentina, but I'll just talk the Alaska to Argentina right now. And on that trip, we did leave Alaska when the boys were 10, and at that point, one of our twins was on a tandem with my husband, and then I rode my own bike, and my other son rode his own bike, and I pulled a trailer behind my bike, and the tandem also had a trailer. In addition to the trailers, we had panniers, or like the saddlebags that go on the bicycles. So we had the panniers and we had the trailers, and everything that we needed was somehow lash strapped or buckled onto our bikes.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. Now, another question is, how did you fund your travel? Did you save up? Did you have passive income coming in while you were on the road? How did that work out?
We owned our house outright, and so we opted to go ahead and rent out the house, and the rent from the house paid roughly half of our expenses. The other half, we made the decision that we were willing to take it out of savings if we couldn't make enough money. So our website generated some, we got some freelance writing gigs, we got some donations, and at the end of the month, whatever wasn't covered by all of that came out of savings.
So speaking of expenses, Nancy, how did you, I'm assuming that you carried food with you. Did you always have at least so many days of food with you, or how did that work?
That varied tremendously depending on where we were. We got really good at looking at a map and talking with people, figuring out how many days we had to the next grocery store in areas where we knew we would be going through a town where there was a grocery store every day. we made sure we had a few snacks on the bikes, but that was really all we needed. In other areas where we were going perhaps 300 or 500 miles before we would get to another grocery store, we would pack, you know, 6 days or 10 days or whatever it was worth of food. I got really, really, really good at estimating that by the end of the trip.
Once you got home, what were the creature comforts that you realized you had missed on the road? What was the biggest relief once your trip was over?
Water. Water.
Water to drink or water to sit in or water all the way around?
Water. You know, you don't realize how important water is until you're out there on the road where you don't have water. And little things on the road became very difficult. Brushing your teeth. Okay, how much water can I afford to use to brush my teeth? My hands are dirty, but can I afford to use water to wash my hands? When you're having to carry all of your water to get you through to your next water source, then you look at that with a whole new set of eyes. And I realized by the time we got to Argentina that if we were able to camp next to a river or a lake, our life was so much easier just having water, washing dishes, all those little things that we don't even think about. So when I got here, when I got back to the U.S. and had water every day, like I could get up and I knew that there would be water coming out of my tap, it was just this amazing thing.
That's wonderful. Let's deflect to our live audience. Does anybody have any specific questions for Nancy? Oh, Steve does. Go ahead, Steve.
Nancy, what kind of food did you carry with you? What were some of the staples that you lived on, since obviously weight and things of that nature for carrying stuff was an issue?
I'm sorry. We were breaking up a bit. Could you repeat that?
Steve wanted to know specifically what kind of food you carried with you, and since obviously weight was an issue.
And that varied tremendously depending on where we were. I always tried to have some kind of snack with me, always, whether that was granola bars in North America. Granola bars were easy to get down in Bolivia. Granola bars were non-existent, but I could get nuts. So I would have dried fruits, I'd have nuts, I'd have some kind of something, some dried something that I could throw in my pannier, and I would just have them there always. So I always had some food with me. Beyond that, it varied tremendously. The hardest place was Peru. What we found in Peru was we could go to restaurants and we could get rice and meat and vegetables and all of that, but there was just nothing in Peru that we could carry with us. And so what I ended up doing was, every evening when we would get into a town, I would run over to the market and I'd buy a couple of kilos of tangerines and a kilo of peas. And then I'd go to the bakery and I'd get a dozen or two dozen little bread rolls. And the next day, that's what we ate on the road, was tangerines and peas and bread until we would get into the next town.
This show is called Road School Mom, so why don't you tell us how you educated your twin boys during this adventure?
For us, the education came from our journey. By that I mean our journey was the basis for our son's education. Example, when we were arriving at the Panama Canal, we knew we were arriving at the Panama Canal, and so we spent some time prior to getting there researching the canal. So we researched the history of the canal. We researched the challenges of constructing the canal. We looked at the ecological impact of connecting the oceans. We looked at the economic aspect of cutting that whole trip around South America off. We looked at the physics involved with raising and lowering ships. We looked at how they designed the system that was a gravity-fed system. There is absolutely no pumps in the Panama Canal at all. So we looked at all of those different aspects of the Panama Canal. And then when we got to the canal, we already had this background knowledge, and so we were able to kind of ask the people that were there more specific questions and take our knowledge to the next level. And then we had our sons write essays. They each chose an area that they wanted to focus on, whether that was, like connecting the oceans and the challenges of connecting the oceans or the physics or whatever. They would focus on something and then they would write an essay. So that really got, it hit so many different areas in this one event. We were able to work on social studies and history and the science, the writing, the reading, the research, all of that. And so that's pretty much how we handled our son's education all the way through. The one exception to that was mathematics. Our sons were pretty advanced in math, and we did not feel that we could properly develop an algebra program or algebra 2 or geometry program based on our journey. So we did carry math books, but everything else came directly from our experiences on the road.
Well, see, I'm a follower of yours, Nancy, on Family on Bikes, so I know the answer to this already. Your boys are heavily involved in robotics, and I know they've won some things in that genre of the area of what they do. But so clearly you were successful in teaching them what they needed to know. But so on the road you had math books, and I know also from reading your travels that they've done a lot of writing. Was there anything besides the math books that you carried with you, or did you rely on resources when you were in the area? Or how did you, where did you get all your resources from?
Everything else besides the math books, everything else came from our journey, everything. And we used the Internet extensively. When we were visiting the Galapagos Islands, a chance encounter in the Galapagos with a scientist who was out in the Galapagos researching invasive species. Talked with him about invasive species and about the devastation and about the efforts of trying to get rid of the invasive species and how difficult that was once they were established there. And that then led to a big research project talking about invasive species in general, about what they are and how to manage once they're there and how to prevent them getting there in the first place. And so everything, no matter where we were, we were working on taking advantage of our experiences on the road. Used the Internet a lot, used local resources. The national parks within the U.S. were amazing, just going through the visitor centers or the ranger talks at the national parks, or the roadside signs. In the U.S., we have all those roadside signs that are all over the place, and those are fabulous resources because they explain something that really you wouldn't know otherwise. And so we stopped at all of those little roadside signs and learned what they were talking about.
Janice from Florida, Nancy, is on our chat, and she's asking, when the boys did their writings, were their essays on paper or did they do that on a computer?
They typed those in, and they are all available on our website. You can go to familyonbikes.org and then go to the blog, and then one of the top tabs is something like Pan American Journal or something like that. And there's one and it says kids' essays, and they're all on there. So we posted all of their journals online, and it's really fun to go through and just look and see the depth and the breadth of all of these different things that we studied as we were on the road.
Nancy, people may not know, even though you're in Boise, you were able to attend and be on the panel of the unschooling discussion for the World's Best Road School Convention. How did that go?
That was fun. Yeah, I was able to go via Skype. I so wanted to go down and join you guys for the convention and just couldn't swing it. So it was fun to be able to be there via Skype.
Yes, we saw the selfie with you on the Skype. That was so adorable. It was so cute. So you, along with your sons who have obviously written the essays, you are a writer in your own right. How many books have you written and published?
I have 4 books out so far. I've got one is a a guide to bike touring with children, so somebody who wants to head out on their bikes with their kids. It's kind of a how-to. And then I have three that are more travelogue, travelogues about different journeys. Back in 1990-91, my husband and I spent a year cycling around Asia. So I have a book about that, and then I have a book about our first year-long bike trip around the U.S. and Mexico when the boys were in third grade, and then I have one about the Pan American from Alaska to Argentina. And I'm really excited. I'm actually tonight handing over the manuscript for a road schooling book on how to take advantage of your travels for the education of your children. And so I have finished my part, and he now has to get it formatted, and that will be out probably not until the fall, though.
Well, that's very exciting. And in a few minutes here, you have generously offered to give away four each of your books in ebook format. So I'm going to give out the number and let the call-in lines fill up. The number to call is 425-440-5100. The conference ID is 026375#. And when I give the go-ahead, you're going to hit *2 and raise your hand, and the first four people to raise their hand are going to get copies of Nancy's books, one each. So we have a question here.
In the meantime, Nancy, when you stop to take a tour, or you stop to swim or shop or whatever, how did you secure your worldly possessions? Did you find that to be an issue, or how did you do that?
That's more of a challenge if you are traveling solo. Because there were four of us, we always just made sure that somebody stayed with the bikes. You know, we would never go, we would never just leave the bikes outside and all four of us would go in. And once we got to a hotel or whatever, we would make sure that the bikes were locked up and secured before we went anywhere. If you're traveling on your own, that's a much more difficult situation, and it's just going to be different depending on where you are and what you can do.
Now, I recall when I followed you got your journey live that you did have a scare, and one of the bikes was stolen from a campground. Isn't that right?
It was. Yeah, that was. It was an odd situation. We always locked the bikes every night. And that particular time, my crown had fallen out, and we arrived into town, and our minds were elsewhere trying to figure out what to do about my tooth. And that night, we had all the bikes stacked right next to each other, right next to my husband's tent, and it was going to rain, so I threw the tarp over the bicycles and somehow didn't lock them. We always locked them, and that night I just didn't get them locked. And at about 3 o'clock in the morning, all of a sudden John is screaming, "Davy's bike is gone," and it was a crowded campground, and it was crazy. As it happened, when they were stealing the bikes, of course, they had to move the tarp, and that rattling of the tarp woke my husband up. And so he woke up just in time. They did get Davy's bike over the fence of the campground out to the road. But then with all of the screaming and the chaos going on, they ditched the bike back in the bushes, and we actually got it back.
Oh, that was a relief, I remember. And I remember also having a very melancholy feeling, and Nancy, you and I talked about this in previous interviews, when your trip came to an end. What was that like for you? When you were done?
Why? You know, that arriving to the end of the world down at the southern tip of South America was such a high. We had been striving toward that for so long. It was a whole year of very, very, very intense, focused planning and preparation. And then it was 3 years on the road, so it had been 4 years in the making. And when, you know, 4 years of every day focused on Ushuaia. And so arriving in Ushuaia was this huge thing, absolutely huge. And then after that, then what? So you've spent 4 years focused on this goal, and you reach that goal, and then nothing. And that was very difficult. It was a very, very, very hard time. I mean, I was kind of my mind was swimming, trying to figure out what I wanted. Where did I want to go? What did I want to focus on? I actually likened it to that I was swimming in an ocean of options. There were just so many options out there, and I had no idea which option to grab onto or where to go. And it did take, it took a few months. It took quite a while for me to kind of settle down and realize that what I wanted right now was to just be in Boise, and that may change at some point and may decide to go traveling again, and that's okay. But for now, Boise was what we wanted, and Boise, as long as Boise continues to meet our needs, then we'll stay here, and when it no longer meets our needs, we'll move on.
So, Nancy, when you came to the end of that trip and you settled back in Boise, did your boys immediately go back to school? Did you keep homeschooling them, or how did their education change or not after your trip?
Idaho is a great school, a great state for homeschoolers, in that as homeschoolers, we are allowed to take advantage of school programs. And so when we arrived back here, we arrived back in April, so of course it was the very end of the school year, and we opted to put the kids in school just half time, just to see how it worked, to see if that was going to be an option or not. And it ended up being that the kids loved their classes, but they also loved the half time. They didn't want to go full time. And being here, that ended up being an option. And so they did the last 6 weeks of the school year. Then we had summer. And then the next year, the kids went and continued with the half time in school and half time homeschooling. And that has been, it's just worked out beautifully for us.
Well, very cool. So we're going to go ahead and give away your book. So this is the time. If you want one of Nancy's books, one of the four books she's written, go ahead and raise your hand, and we will collect her information and get that to her to get you the book. So to raise your hand, if you're listening on the phone, go ahead and hit star 2. And I have 1, 2, 3 books taken already, right? I do. I have Donna. I have Janice, I have Jill Jenkins, and I have Jennifer Miles. Okay. Wow, that was fast. So I'll go ahead and make a note of that. If you are a winner, go ahead and send me an email or a Facebook message to Kimberly@fulltimefamilies.com, or you can put it on the chat of your email address, and I'll be sure to get that to Nancy, and she'll get you your e-book. Thanks so much for bringing those prizes tonight and for chatting with us. So, what's the next phase for you, Nancy? You're going to stay in Boise? Are you planning any more big trips?
You know, our next phase right now is really watching our sons spread their wings, and they are taking us in directions we never dreamed about. They are very involved, as you mentioned earlier. They are very involved with robotics. In fact, we're leaving Wednesday to fly to St. Louis for the world championships. So this is kind of like the Olympics of robotics, and we qualified. Our team qualified. We won in Salt Lake City at the regional, and so we'll be going to world finals this next weekend. So exciting.
That is very exciting. We'll be virtually rooting for you. Yes.
Yeah. We're so excited. It's a really big deal, and so we're very excited about that. So we're at this point, our plan is to stay in Boise until the boys are off in college or something. At this point, I can't imagine taking them out of their classes. They do love their classes through the schools, and they love their robotics, and I can't see that we would take them out of that at this point, although we are open if things were to change and if it became obvious that, you know, this was not meeting needs, we would head out. But my thought at this point is we'll probably be here for another couple of years.
Well, that's wonderful. And thanks again for joining us. And thanks for being a part of Postcards from Chicks Without Bricks. If you haven't gotten your copy yet, there's 2 stories in there from Nancy regarding her travels and regarding the kindness of strangers, 2 stories that are very near and dear to my heart. Thanks again for being part of the World's Best Rose Quilt Convention, and in fact, our first virtual contributor.
Right.
That's really cool. And for being on the show with us tonight. Thanks,
yeah,
Nancy.
Thank you. Thank you. I so appreciate you inviting me on.
Absolutely, and we'll be following along, and when your new book about road schooling comes out, we'd love to have you back on.
Perfect. Perfect. It'll probably be in the fall.
Okay, perfect. Thanks, Nancy. Everybody. Yay.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay, have a good one. Well, that was fun. That's one brave lady.
It's too much for my mind to I can't talk about. It's too much for my mind to absorb and process biking from Alaska to the tip of South America. I just can't imagine.
I know. I can't even wrap my head around that goal. But, you know, when she said a sea of options, there's a lot of times I feel like that. And I think that our audience all kind of knows what that sea of options feels like. When you live a lifestyle that's independent of your location, when you can really be anywhere in the world, you know, that's a wonderful thing. And then sometimes it's exhausting to think, where are we going next? Right?
Too many variables.
There are too many variables. Should I go east? Should I go west? Should I go north?
What if I do this and then I just wanted to do that?
Right.
So where are you going next?
I am taking Clementine with me, and we are going to Sedona, where a whole bunch of families have already congregated, and I think that more families will be coming that way also. So I'll be looking forward to that. And where are you going, Mary Beth?
You know, I talked about the Wing It plan, and we're still on the Wing It plan. So I really don't know. We are, we're going to do some show schedules, as you know. We've got some rallies that we're going to attend, some other different organizational rallies, and we're looking at one in New Mexico, and I don't know. We're probably going to head up the East Coast. As much as I love it out West, we've got some commitments on the East Coast, so we're probably going to end up there, which I'm excited about. We've not been up that way, so I'm excited to put some more states on our map that we've been through.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. It's so exciting to be able to put that extra sticker on there. The new principal?
Yeah.
What is that?
Well, you know, I've been talking about it. I have started uploading free printables to our learning shop. So if you have already purchased a study guide, specifically this week it was all about Tucson, of course, because we're still here. So I took the vocabulary list, and if you go to our learning shop, you can download a crossword puzzle with the answer key for free.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
So if you have other study guides, you can watch different weeks. There'll be different ones. And if you are a road trip teacher, I know I think you've done the same thing. Road trip teacher subscribers this week should have gotten that free printable in your mailbox and a copy of our road school guide.
Right, and full-time family subscribers, that's coming out to you on Tuesday. So that guide is really, I was looking at it again last night. First of all, it's just beautiful. The paper itself is fantastic. It's glossy and thick. But then the information inside is really wonderful. It's a publication like no other.
Well, we're excited to be able to bring it to you from Road Trip Teacher and Full-Time Families. And almost all of the writers in there this month, as you know, it's going to be a bi-monthly publication. And all of the writers, most of them, are already working on their stories for next time. And we're adding some new things. We've got a story coming out on Minecraft. I know we have a lot of Minecraft fans here this weekend, this last week. So there's going to be some information about classes that are available for Minecraft. And, you know, if you're a road schooler and you have questions or you want us to look into a different topic or, you know, something you want to know about, just shoot us an email to Kimberly or I, and we'll be glad to cover it.
Absolutely. So on Full-Time Families this week, I posted my review of Biosphere.
I'm so sorry we didn't get to go to Biosphere with you.
Oh, I'm so sorry you didn't come too and share the agony that is Biosphere. So I'm not going to say I loved it. Funny went with me. What did you think, Funny? No, she's saying thumbs down too. Biosphere.
Tell her what it is.
Okay, so it's a glorified greenhouse, is what it is. That people decided to live in for 2 years.
It was a university experiment. Am I right?
No, at that point it was a privately funded experiment. And now it was gifted to and is owned by the University of Arizona.
But at that time, in the 1990s, it was a private thing where they created these five biomes under glass in the Arizona desert, and they wanted to do experiments. And the first thing that struck me was how controlled the environment was. Buddy and I stood in the rainforest, and we were assured there were no anacondas there, but there was bamboo. And I thought, how can you get an adequate reading of what the jungle would do if you don't have all of the jungle animals and all of, like, it didn't make any sense to me. And, you know, right? Yeah. It was just a big debacle of let's just plant stuff and live here.
Did you learn anything at all?
I did not, but in the I did not like it at all. I was very disappointed. I really went to figure out about the human aspect. I wanted to know way more about the biospherians, and that was like a secondary. They really wanted to show you the wave pool that they call the ocean. Dominic, in true Rhodes School child fashion, Dominic not only enjoyed it, but came home and immediately started pounding on the keyboard for Minecraft. And he created his own biosphere, and he put all his biomes in there, and then he switched himself to survival mode and tried to live in it. And what he learned was man cannot live on wheat alone. So in about 5 hours, he set it all on fire and turned over to the villagers.
Well, that's the glorious, great thing about Minecraft. If you don't like it, burn it.
Exactly. Burn it to the ground. And, you know, I think that would be, I don't know, I think I would have gotten something out of being able to set biosphere ablaze. But unfortunately, they don't allow that on the tours because they want to continue to do the tours.
Speaking of fires.
Yes,
let's have talk you got about your 48 fire? Your 40? Did you in your 48 hours after the convention? Did you talk about your escape plan from your RV?
So I have been talking. So what Mayor Vez is talking about is Maca Fire Guy came to the convention and scared the Jesus out of all of us, and told us that in no uncertain circumstances. In no uncertain circumstances should we live in RVs without having a fire safety plan, without having adequate fire alarms, which are specific fire alarms. You really need to know what those fire alarms are, and without having adequate fire extinguishers. The foam extinguishers are really not what you want in your house. You want ones that are made of soap or something like that. And you have to have a fire safety plan to get out of the house. So it's been 48 hours since, and then some. Do I have a fire safety plan? And the short answer is no, but the longer answer is we have been discussing fires at great length in the rig, and I showed Tonya how to open her window and actually made it easier for her to open, because upon realizing how tough it was, I actually just loosened it a lot so she could open it. And told Dominic that he has to be responsible for himself and also try to help the younger ones get out. And, you know, so we're very conscious. We moved all the equipment that was in front of our own fire exit away so that I don't have to get up over the printer and through the iPad and stuff. And I know Clementine's husband has actually gone out and bought PVC to build a fire escape ladder.
Oh.
And sitting under your camper, there's a big giant pipe sitting under your camper that is going to soon be a fire escape ladder. So I know that's very prevalent on people's minds. So you, Mary Beth, do you have a fire escape plan?
We did. We talked about it with the kids and talked about who would go out where and, you know, the things that you shouldn't, you know, we reiterated the things that you should not be worrying about as you're trying to get out. And, yeah, we do. We walked through with them how to open the window and where you should go out if the fire was in what part, you know, if they seen the fire here, go that way or vice versa. So I feel like it was definitely a big wake-up call for us and one that we were very glad to share with everyone. And if you are at an event or somewhere that you can go check out Maca Fire Guy's workshop, do it because you will be glad you did.
Yeah. So anybody else who's with us that went to Mac's thing, do you all have a fire safety plan now? Are you more aware? Yeah, they didn't even go. Okay.
Try again.
Yeah.
We weren't there, sir.
Buddy actually is the one that clued FTF into Max the Fire Guy, and has seen him at another rally and said you have to have him come, and so she was pivotal in making that a reality for us. So do you have a fire safety plan?
Our windows open.
Their windows open. And how about you, Renee? Do you have a safety plan? Me too. And one interesting thing that, you know, it's been just on our minds. We've just been talking and talking and talking about it. We were at the fire, and Renee's company, RV Sunshades, puts those sunshades on the campers. And I don't know if you're familiar, but there's more than one way to put those sunshades on. And some are with these lock and buckle turny things. And Renee's is actually with snaps. And if anyone is considering sunshades, they need to have the ones that Renee makes with snaps, because you can't get out of turnbuckle ones with your emergency windows. You
right.
can actually get out of them. I was able to just give it a nice big push, and those snaps came right off, and I was ready to go out the window. So
that's a great point.
That's a big difference, something definitely to consider when if you're going to get sunshades.
That's a great point.
So what else? What else are we doing this week?
Well, I'll have to say that we've got a couple of people that came to the convention. We were Leslie and her family came out there dreaming about where they're going and when they're going to be on the road and what kind of rig they're looking at and all the questions about how do you do this, how do you do that. And I was reminded yesterday about how if something is important enough to you, you'll find the space for it, right?
Right.
I was thinking about that yesterday when I was looked out the window and there's Clementine over there with her sewing machine is set up, and all that I was thinking, I mean, well, first of all, I don't have that skill, clearly. Clearly don't have that skill, but it just reminded me about space and, you know.
What you'll make room for.
Right.
Right.
So what do you make room for?
Oh, I make room for my husband and my family, for sure.
That's important.
It is important.
Your driver. You got to have the driver.
Exactly. What do I make room for? Well, we have a lot of electronics in the rig. Chris was a computer technician before we went on the road, and that's a habit he's brought with him. So there's all sorts of routers and doodads and ringers and blue lights all over the place. We have toys and books. And I think the regular stuff. What gets me is that everything in my rig is so that if I'm going to buy something, I have to take something out. Now, you're in a new situation with your trailer where you can buy stuff and put in a trailer. But for me, I'm at that tipping point where if I go and buy clothes, then I have to get rid of clothes. And that goes for kids' toys, too. I was actually talking to Greg Gerber today. Greg Gerber from the RV Daily Report came, and we did a podcast interview. I'm really excited about that, and I'll post the link when it's about ready. But we talked about, he said, how do you make room for toys? And I said, you know, us FTFs, we have this saying that we store our stuff at Goodwill. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we're done with it, when our kids have outgrown it, we send it to Goodwill, and then we go to a different Goodwill and pick some new stuff up, and it's a great way to recycle and keep your rig kind of streamlined and clean.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. So other things coming up this week. Next week, I'm really excited because, again, number one question, what's the number one question people ask you about being on the road? Who can tell me? How to make money. We have the smartest audience this side of Mississippi.
They're on it.
We
should take them with us.
We should. You know what? I'll take them with us.
I don't want to hear your
you just need to come with us as we go, because we're all going.
You never know. Where yeah. might show up.
I never know, because you're on the wing it, man.
Wing it.
Someone wants to know, is there a summary of the fire safety, and it felt better than that? There's a video.
Right.
So as soon as I go to Clementine's camper with my terabyte drive, which I've been promising to do every day, we will be getting that video up. And then also people should know there's also a video of the unschooling panel that went on. There's quite a few videos. We're actually going to be having a virtual convention package that people can tune into. And so if you didn't get to come to Tucson, it'll be just like you were here. Right. So next week, so how to make money on the road. I talked about it last week. We have American Writers and Artists Incorporated coming online. We have the founder, Katie Akel, of that company, and we have one of their very successful copywriters, and that's what it is. It's a program to learn how to do copyright letters. And she, this copywriter, is also a homeschool mom. So I'm really excited to talk to them about that income opportunity, because really writing is something that we all do anyway, and we can all do from anywhere in the world. So wouldn't it be great to get paid to do your writing?
Yeah, I personally can't wait for that one. It's going to be, it's the first in a series, right? We're going to do this once a month. It's one of our four subjects that we'll, that we're going to cover every month. So watch our show schedule for that.
Yeah, so that's going to be next week. I'm making money on the road. And then after that, you know, our calendar is really filling up. And if you ever want to know what it is we're doing, you could always go to ultimateradioshow.com/show-host/roadschoolmoms, or you could just click on the Road School Moms icon on that homepage, and we have listed what's coming up, and you can also listen to our older shows there too. So
it's available on iTunes right now.
It is available also on iTunes. So take us for a walk, take us
for a
in
run.
Your car. You know, if you're traveling several miles,
take us to
miles.
The biosphere. Take us.
Don't take us to the biosphere. I'm never going back there. Not even virtually.
You should have came to Mount Lemmon with us.
Yeah, I'm on the biosphere. That's one of the things that was super irritating to me. Mary Beth, why is it called Biosphere 2?
I have no idea.
Because Biosphere 1 is Earth.
Oh.
Right away, off the bat, lame. Not happy about that. So anyway, I'm excited about May 4th.
May 4th.
You know what that is? That's our Talk Dirty to Me show.
Can't wait.
Where we're going to talk dirty laundry and hash it out.
Well, you just bring it on.
I'm bringing it. I'm bringing my soap. I'm bringing my shower.
Oh, because we don't just use regular soap. But we'll save that for May 4th.
Don't be jealous of my soap. You know how awesome that is.
I used your soap. It was fun.
Yeah, exactly.
It was free. I liked it.
So May 4th, Talk Dirty to Me. And then a whole bunch of other topics coming up. Just really excited about it. And like I said, if you've missed any of our shows, we've had one about creative writing, adding creative writing to your road school with Frank Erber, one about unschooling on the road with Diane Gardner, using lapbooks with A Journey Through Learning. You and I hashed it out last month about motorhome versus fifth wheel, and I clearly won.
Whatever. Let's take a poll of how many motorhomes versus fifth wheels are here this week. There.
Let's not.
I mean, if you want to have a club,
I don't know that I'm going to make decisions about that club. But anyway, back to me winning. And then we did do another one about making money on the road where we talked about
Amazon Camper Force,
Camper 31,
RV Armor.
And RV Armor. And then, of course, last week was the wrap-up of the World's Best Road School Convention. So all that information is sitting there waiting for you in iTunes under Road School Moms or at theultimateradioshow.com. We have officially 8 more minutes. What else would you like to talk about? Oh, someone, what? Oh, hula looping. Excuse me. Yeah, that gets me excited. I have taken on a new obsession.
Let's say that first, we're glad this is a radio show.
Right.
Are you? I'm surprised you're not hula hooping.
I could be. I really feel like I should be. Gina.
Yes.
Giargente. Who is married to Peter Giargente, who is going to be on our special Father's Day edition of Road School Moms,
mm-hmm.
the Road School Dad, is a hoop instructor. And she brought a plethora of hoops, right?
She did.
She
all
did.
Sizes, all colors. Yeah. They lit up. They had sparklies. They were crazy hoops.
And our daughters
are crazy hula hoopers now.
Yes, are crazy hula hoopers. And I've just become obsessed with being a hula hooper, too. Because, first of all, Gina, she's the size of a stick. Right?
Yeah, she is.
She's like a little twig. So I am in my head that in a year I'm going to be genocized.
Oh, that's interesting. You want to take pictures now?
Yes, it's going to be before and after pictures.
Is this going to be a virtual? Is there going to be video involved and all that?
Yes, awesome. Exactly. You could follow my journey to genocide.
Oh, I can't wait. Somehow I feel like this is also going to be part of a Wing It plan. Just saying.
So Clementine got herself a hoop, I have a hoop, and that's it. We're going on the road.
I don't have a hoop, so you never have to be.
A new club, together. What can I say? You had a different club.
That's all right. I'm fine with that.
Non-hooper.
Non-hooper. I don't do hoops.
Hooper pooper.
So let's see, you're moving on. We're leaving a KOA this week, right?
Yeah.
You're moving on to a campground we're at. Thousand Trails?
It is Thousand Trails, Verde Valley in Cottonwood. It's a great campground. It's one of the most beautiful campgrounds in the Thousand Trails system. In fact, we should do a show about Thousand Trails. I'll call them.
Because am I right or wrong? Is this a particular park that you had to do something different with your zone pass, or was this in your...
See, I don't have a zone pass, and we'll talk about that in a different show. I have a nationwide, very old plan that we bought on resale. But Clementine just bought herself a zone pass and just so that she could go with us. So there's a lot of options with Thousand Trails. And I personally think it's a great safety net if you're on the road and you have fluctuating income. Right?
Absolutely.
So
definitely something to look into, something that we'll discuss on a later show.
That's right. That's right. And let me think what else is going on. I'm going to be putting up a bunch of blog posts about the other places we went that we did enjoy, like the Sonoran Desert Museum.
That was awesome. That was one of our favorite things.
Thank you so much, Jill Jenkins, for organizing that so we could all go at a homeschool rate on a Sunday, last Sunday. That was really fantastic. And then Old Tucson.
Old Tucson was fun.
Yeah.
Definitely. We went to Mount Lemmon. I already mentioned that. That was fun.
We went to the mission today.
San Javier Mission.
Pima.
Oh, the Pima Air Museum. That was fun.
Yeah.
And the air show. We were so blessed last weekend to have this great air show that flew right over our head during the convention. That was just a bonus.
That was really fantastic. I'm so glad we were able to orchestrate that.
Yep.
for our convention attendees' behalf. Thank you. I did that myself.
That's nice.
I just thought it would be a great send-off. Don't roll your eyes at me. Even though no one could see it, I can see it. And so that's what's going on. So if you are not on Mary Beth's roadtripteacher.com mailing list or the fulltimefamilies.com mailing list, get yourself on there so you can get your free copy of the Ultimate Road School Guide. If you have any shows, show topics that you would like us to expressly talk about, argue about, take a poll about.
Because we're so good at arguing.
We are. We are. We're the original odd couple.
I didn't have a sister, so I needed this.
I didn't have a sister either.
You have a great mom.
I do have a great mom.
I love her.
Yeah, I do too. Anyway, so you can email us, right, info@roadtripteacher.com or Kimberly@fulltimefamilies.com, and we will put that on our schedule. We're pretty wide open.
Visit our Facebook page, Road School Moms.
And tell your friends to tune in.
Right. We're going to have more free prizes next week, right? Giveaways.
Always free prizes. So congratulations to our winners and a happy Easter. And
that's it.
That's all you
got?
That's
it for another week of Road School Moms.
Okay, let's end with our Road School Moms prayer.
This is Kimberly.
And this is Mary Beth, your Road School Moms. On the road where education meets adventure. Until next time, we wish you safe travels and leave you with our traveler's prayer. Lord, be our guide and protector. Let those I encounter be blessed by my words. Let my hands be filled with your work, and may I be filled with your grace and kind words for others. May I be a light unto those around me on the journey ahead. Amen.
Amen. This has been a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. If you'd like more information, go to roadschoolmoms.com.